Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. This is your window on the world, and we're trying to map everybody on all over the world. So stay tuned, and we can find out how we can do this in our closing lesson today. So, where are you today? Map Quest, and we are trying to map the whole world. At least we're finding out more about maps. It's been an interesting lesson, hasn't it, Josh?
It sure has, Doris. Great to be here.
We have Josh and Ellen. Ellen, did you learn anything new in this article on pages 22, 23, and 24?
I did. It was interesting to know that we are now in the best mapped part of history.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Well, they're doing more and more on maps, and so there must be some reason people doing this are racing to be the best company for maps. There must be a prize.
There is, Doris. Lots of money to the winner.
Financial, right?
Right. We'll talk about a little bit about that today. But the big players, they're not necessarily making lots of money right now. Google, of course, is the leader, but their Android software is free for phone companies to license from them.
Well, so how can you make money if it's free?
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I think it comes down to advertising and then the exciting, what we talked about yesterday, location-based technologies that are going to make our lives easier because they know where we are at all times.
That's a little bit scary to me. Sometimes you don't know if you want everybody to know where you are at all times. What do you think, Ellen?
Right. It's kind of like before we had phones, we could get out of work and enjoy our own lives, but now we're kind of always connected.
Right. You say, what's your cell phone number? Well, you know, this is the weekend. Well, in case I want to get in touch, right?
Well, Ellen, we learned from you yesterday that you just bought a smartphone. Wow.
Well,
you might be the last person I know to have gotten
well,
a smartphone.
Well, I know there's a few other people in the company, I'll tell you. Right. But some people think, well, I just need to use the phone to make phone calls. But we're finding now more and more. You know, even like if I go to church and I want to read the Bible, I can just find it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so handy just to do anything like that.
The world.
You can find your friends, you can listen to music, and you can check your email if you're out someplace where they have Wi-Fi and think, oh, this is pretty handy. And the more you use it, the more you find out it's pretty easy to use.
Right. Sometimes you might even see everybody in the subway or in the MRT looking down at their phone and nobody's
sometimes,
looking
around. Sometimes, almost
right.
Always, you go to a restaurant and everybody's sitting there waiting for their order and they're checking their phone.
Yes.
So it's kind of common. But anyway, we're going to talk about the mapping part of it. And actually, that every company is trying to make better maps. And I think Google and Nokia are kind of ahead, aren't they, on those two?
Yes, we learned that Nokia, at least according to the industry, to experts, they have the best product out there. But, of course, Google is the fan favorite.
Well, they've been doing it longer, actually. In 2008, they started really sending people out, taking all these photos and things, you know.
And I think the dark horse, the candidate that might come out of the pack to lead is Amazon, because they seem to
they're
always...
They're kind of far behind there.
They are, but they can catch up pretty quick.
We'll have to find out about that. Let's see what we're going to learn today. We're going to open our magazines now to page 24. Be sure you have the magazine, because it helps you see the pictures and the charts. And even though we do a lot of digital things, it's kind of nice to have a paper thing now and then to write on and mark. So get the magazine, too, and join us now as we read on page 24.
Charting a course for competition. Mapping, like web search, is a positive feedback business. The better you are, the better you get, with more users creating more data. And that means almost every other mapping initiative doesn't stand a chance. Microsoft, which licenses much of its road data from Nokia, has mainly sought to improve its Maps user interface, especially its imagery. Bing recently completed a 2-year effort to capture aerial images of the United States and Western Europe at a super high resolution. That's nice, But given Bing and Windows Phone's small market share when compared with Google Search and Android's, it's likely in vain. Then there's Apple, whose motivations for getting into mapping are unclear. The company, which declined to discuss its mapping plans publicly, ostensibly decided to build its own maps to control the iPhone user experience. But the move has created the opposite of its intended effect. While Apple certainly has the resources to build the world's best maps, it has yet to marshal them like its rivals. If you look at what Google and Nokia have had to invest, Apple is not even scratching the surface, says Nokia's Brandmo. But time, more than money, may be Apple's enemy. It would take them years, maybe even decades, to catch up.
Well, charting a course sounds to me like making a map in a way, doesn't it?
It does. It can also mean making a plan for something. Mm-hmm. It's a good phrase. You might chart your course for your English studies, and hopefully that includes Studio Classroom.
Right. A chart is just a way of showing you how to get someplace. And it kind of reminds you of a map in some ways. So what about the competition? Well, mapping, like web search, it is what we call a positive feedback business. The better you are, the better you get.
Mm-hmm. The more you do it, the more users stick with you and give you more data, the better, more effective you can be.
So what does that actually mean then?
Well, it just means that it's relying on users to give information, to give positive information in order for it to improve.
Mm-hmm. And what that's meaning to the other companies is that they don't stand a chance, which means they're not going to be able to catch up to the leaders who are out there gathering so much authentic, accurate data about our world.
When I read about how fast they're doing this on Nokia one, I just couldn't believe it, that how many times they change it and they have 80,000 data feeds and they update 2.4 million times a day. That's more than any other service. That would kind of make me a bit discouraged if I was trying to get in the business.
It really does. It puts up a high barrier to entry. When you want to get into a business, you have to look and see how fast can I compete in that industry. And if something has a high barrier to entry, it means that the other competitors are too far ahead.
And you can't really do everything yourself. So, you know, if you can't beat them, then you join them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Microsoft, who's also a very big company, but they can't do everything themselves either. And they've bought a lot of small companies. Every big company has bought a lot of other companies. This is why you said some people bought what's company you were talking about in the States, because they wanted to get all their patents and everything.
Yes, Motorola was purchased by Google, a failing mobile phone device maker. I mean, no one buys Motorola phones anymore.
They used to a long time ago.
But right, they own lots of patents, lots of intellectual property about telecommunications technology. So Google spent $4 billion on Motorola.
Can you imagine that?
Wow. That's an expensive investment.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Microsoft, then, they license a lot of its road data. They get all this from Nokia. And they have also, you know, Nokia keeps trying to improve the Maps user interface. What does that mean?
Well, user interface, we've talked about before, is how the front end or the visuals of a piece of technology, be it a website or an app, how it works. Where's the content laid out? What do I click on to get through the experience? And I don't think Google's is that great, but we're used to it. Mm-hmm. We've just grown comfortable with how the user interface of Google Maps works.
That's true.
Right. Sometimes we say we're creatures of habit.
Right.
So we like to do things over and over again or know how to do something.
We already know how to do it, so why learn something else?
Mm-hmm.
But Bing, which is on the Microsoft one, they completed a 2-year effort. They've been working for 2 years to get all of these pictures from the air, aerial images of the United States and Western Europe, at what they call super high resolution. Now, if the resolution is not high, it's very blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see it. So they said, okay, we're going to get sharp, good resolution, good pictures on there. They've spent 2 years on it.
Wow.
So has that paid off?
That certainly has. Now Bing has provided a lot of information for Microsoft, right? A lot of their information has been licensed to Microsoft to use in their programs.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to catch up, though?
Right. It's not. It's been okay, but it hasn't increased their market share too much. So all this great content that Bing and the Windows Phone, I know it's confusing, but we're all talking about Microsoft here. They own Bing, and their technology, their software that goes on Nokia phones is called Windows Phone. And it's lauded for being very sleek and useful, but it's just not used by very many people.
So it's in vain. It means that it's not going to work out. It won't be successful.
They're just too far behind the leaders, which are, of course, Android, iOS, which is Apple, and they're even far behind BlackBerry, a company that some people say won't even be around in a couple years.
They've been struggling, yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to all make comebacks.
So if something in vain, you're doing it and there's no real point to it. It's almost useless that you're trying.
Right. Not worth the effort.
That's true, yeah. Some of us don't know and we say, well, we'll wait and see what happens, you know. And we try to use the one that's user-friendly for us or the one that we're used to. Isn't that right?
Right.
So it's kind of an interesting fight going on there. We don't think about that when we use our smartphones, how these people are trying to use all the things that are new, but they must be careful they don't use somebody else's because there's a patent on it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there's nothing really new. It's just that people use it in a different way.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think, it's going to take some major innovations for a new player to come in. But one of them was Apple, as we learn in line 15. And people weren't even sure why they launched a new app. We talked about it on the first day of our article that in the previous versions of their software, OS 5, the default map was Google. And you just had the Google app on your iPhone or your iPad, and you were happy with it. And then when you upgraded to iOS 6, suddenly there was this icon on your home screen that said Maps, and people clicked it, and it was a brand new mapping application that disappointed a lot of people.
Well, do you think they thought they could make more money by having their own?
I think so. I think it was unclear at first because it wasn't something that could be used by other people. This wasn't a mapping tool that they were going to build an Android version for and hopefully have tons of eyeballs. I think it more ties in line with how Steve Jobs has wanted control over the Apple experience.
Right. He wanted everything to his specifications or his desires. Mm-hmm. He wanted absolute control.
Kind of hard to do that in the world today, though.
What about this
word, ostensibly? That's an interesting word there.
Well, ostensibly just means the appearance of something, but in actuality or in reality, it's actually something else.
It looks like it's something, but it isn't, right?
Right. So it appears that their mapping strategy was about controlling the user experience on the iPhone, which has been the Jobs mantra. But he's gone, and Tim Cook is in charge, so maybe there's another motive that
we don't
know about.
The move is created the opposite of its intended effect. They intended it to be one thing, but it didn't work out. You could say it was kind of a fiasco in some ways, right?
Yeah. Right.
The intended effect was to keep you from using Google Apps.
That's right.
But it actually drove you to use it more.
That's right.
So it says, while Apple certainly has the resources to build the world's best maps, it has yet to marshal them like its rivals.
To get them in order. To marshal them means to put them in order. Because they do have an awful lot of resources in Apple now. Because they've been in front in a lot of different things. But they have to decide how to really map out a good plan, don't they?
And I think we've used a lot of war terms in this. And
that's true.
It is a battle. And when we use the word marshal, I think of marshaling troops to go and face the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a battle between Apple and Google and Nokia and Microsoft as a team. And then the other players like Samsung and Motorola coming into the mix.
I don't know how much money they've had to spend here, but it does say here, if you look at what Google and Nokia have had to invest, you know, Apple is not even scratching the surface. I like that term.
It is a good term.
The very beginning, they're not even beginning to dig deep. They haven't even started in yet.
Right. Scratching the surface just means to even get into a little part of it.
But they do have money, so I don't know. I guess they just haven't put that much money into it. Is that right?
Well, according to Brondmo, who we met yesterday as Nokia's head of new product innovation, he says it's not just about money. Time, he says, more than money, may be Apple's real enemy.
Well, why is that then?
Well, it takes so much time to map the world.
Right. As we mentioned yesterday, Google's been in the mapping business for years. Mm-hmm. And for Apple to catch up, they're about 4 or 5 years behind them.
Of course, with a lot of money, you can send more people out, but it still takes time. So
right. There's
certain time involved in this.
In our digital age, I think a week, a month is almost like years in development.
Well, that is interesting because sometimes, you know, you want to give up and you think you can't catch up, but then you can catch up by doing things in a different way. So it takes a lot of innovation, a lot of creativity, and people who are in these fields of doing things on the internet and with all of these web phones and these things, they have to be very creative and keep thinking of new things, don't they?
Maybe Apple will come up a way to just beam us places, and then you won't need maps.
I don't know about that.
Star Trek.
Well, John, when you were doing all your web services and all, did you come up about any problems with some of these things or not?
Well, I think Apple is a struggle for lots of other companies because it's hard to crack into their software development. It's a lot easier to do things on Android. So my money is on Google. I think they not only have the lead, but have built an ecosystem, an environment that's open and friendly that'll keep them in the lead.
Have you ever visited Google?
I have not.
Well, we had a chance to stop by Google, and I thought it was kind of fun to go in there because, you know, it's kind of a loose place in a way. Everybody feels sort of comfortable. And what I liked about it was they have these great big cafeterias, and everybody eats free.
Yes.
And you can have Italian food or any kind. You sit down and eat whatever you want, and it doesn't cost you any money. Wow, that would be a nice company.
And it's good food, too.
We can't do that here at City Fashion. Pretty good food. But they do have kind of a creative atmosphere there, people that work there, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
they
I
have
think it's good. Yeah.
A portion of your time you're allowed to just work on free, you know, free thinking, creative projects.
Right. And you can bring your dogs and cats sometimes to work. Okay, well, let's look at the last one. It says Map Madness. Let's read that.
Map Madness. All these companies will keep pouring money into cartography because of its inherent, unknowable promise. Mapping requires and creates huge troves of user data. The bet is that the data will lead to insights into user behavior that can then be turned into new products. Or, failing that, to methods for predicting customer actions in order to serve up better ads. In other words, the money in maps lies in uncharted territory.
So this is kind of a madness in a way. It's kind of getting everybody to say, let's see what we can do. And then, you know, they just get so involved in it, you could almost say they're going crazy about it, right?
Right, and they don't know where it's headed.
But they keep pouring money into this, don't they?
Right, pouring money just meaning to invest, they continue put money into this endeavor, so this investment that they want to do.
They're pouring money into cartography, right? Not right. Photography, but cartography. What does that really mean then?
It just means creating maps. The industry of creating maps is cartography.
Well, and it says here, because of its inherent and unknowable promise, I don't think about those words being used for cartography. Inherent.
Inherent means it's intrinsically, it's a part of it, almost naturally. This idea of creating maps, having us all use them constantly has a value almost naturally.
And of course, it's unknowable because nobody knows where it's going to lead. Like you said, 3D maps or maps that talk to you or maps, I don't know, they could anything, could lead any place. It's unknowable, right?
Right. As we've been saying throughout this, this is uncharted territory. We're going on a map quest, so we don't know where this quest will lead.
But we do know that when you do mapping or cartography, it really requires something. It requires what?
Huge troves of user data. And okay. A trove, I think we've used the phrase treasure trove before, mm-hmm. just means a large amount of something that's almost categorized or filed away. And just think about the information you give your map tool. You tell it where you live, where you want to eat, where you work, all this information, and that is being archived in a huge treasure trove.
And people use it because it's user data, things that you can use. So, well, the very bit or the thing that people are talking is that's going to help people understand how we use it. It gives us insight. When you have an insight to something, you know what that really means to an insight.
Right. You have a deep understanding, and this data that these companies are collecting are giving them insights into the user behavior. So,
and then once you know that, what can happen?
It can turn into new products.
So we're always looking for new products. There aren't. Sometimes people say everything has been invented, but it hasn't.
No.
There's new things being invented all the time. And so as you see how people use this, it'll give you a new product, a new way to use it.
Mm-hmm. Right. For example, I think Siri. Nobody had thought of Siri, but it was very innovative because it was something where it could give you information when
right.
you asked it.
Do you
personally.
Use that at all?
Oh, sure. Or I think about Line and WhatsApp and WeChat.
Yeah.
These tools are brand new.
Something new, right?
Revolutionizing the way we communicate.
It's hard to keep up with them. But even if it doesn't do that, if it fails to do that, they want methods of knowing ahead of time. Predicting means to be able to see before it happened. What do they want to predict?
They want to predict customer actions so that they can better serve advertisements. Know which advertisements you want to see.
Oh, I get so tired of ads sometimes. You know, if you watch some TV shows that have all these ads, I think the ads are much longer than the news even sometimes.
Well, you got to pay for it somehow, Doris.
Yeah.
Google's and Apple, they're all sending out teams of people to take pictures of our houses and our buildings, and we're not paying anything for these tools.
Some people would rather pay and not have the ads. But actually, so there are times you can get certain things without
right.
ads.
There are services where you can pay maybe an extra $5 and not have the ads.
Right.
That's
but,
true.
But that's what they're kind of hoping for, because advertising is a big business and ads are very expensive for big events and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of dollars people make on ads, don't they?
Google makes billions of dollars on text ads, mm-hmm. those little sponsored ads when you type in coffee shop, comma, the city you're looking for, and suddenly you get all these ads for coffee. Companies have paid Google quite a bit for those ads.
Boy. Well, in other words, the very last sentence says, the money in maps lies in, not printing maps, but it lies in uncharted territory. That's interesting. They use those words about charted and uncharted.
That's right. If something is uncharted, it hasn't been mapped yet. It's an area of the land or our country that we haven't yet put on to a physical map.
So the money, as we don't know how it's going to work out. It's uncharted. It's something nobody knows for sure, but they are putting their money on cartography because they think that that's going to be the thing that people will buy their cell phone for, that put the ads on. It's the way to go, isn't it?
That's right. Maybe one day you could be a cartographic wizard.
That's right. Well, I think we have a little skit for that now.
Welcome to Advanced Technology Today. I'm your host, Rick Database, and I have a question for everybody. Where are we? To help answer that question, tech guru Rick Database joins us in the studio today. Welcome, Rick.
Always a pleasure, Skip. Great question. Where are we?
Well, Mr. Tech Guru, do I have to coax an answer out of you?
We are here, Skip, but I think you're actually asking me, where are we in the cartographic wave that is taking over the internet like a tsunami?
You're right, Rick. It seems like every major player on the internet is mapping and taking aerial photographs of every nook and cranny of our planet. Why?
It's the next great question facing the digital world, Skip. So in a way, your question at the beginning of the show was not asked in vain. You're more astute than you realize.
Well, thank you.
Google first answered what? Facebook then answered who? Now the battle is on to see who can best answer where.
So, that's why Apple, Nokia, Microsoft, Google, and others are gathering troves of geographical information.
Exactly, Skip. Whoever wins the where contest will have the upper hand when it comes to attracting advertisers and thus generating the most revenue.
So, all this map-making and panoramic photography is about money?
Wow! What a surprise! It's about money! You're a genius, Skip!
So, how are the competitors faring so far in this quest to map the world?
For Apple, it's been a total fiasco. They're not sure what they want to do. Google has traversed pretty well so far. The others, who knows?
That's the Facebook question.
Good one, Skip.
Whoa, looks like we're out of time. Rick Database, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Skip.
And this is Skip Facts saying we'll see you all next time here on Advanced Technology Today.
It's been really great to just review and look at this topic to just learn that there's so much effort being put into creating these maps. And I'm looking forward to this uncharted territory to see where it goes.
And I would encourage you to click on the street view the next time you're looking to get directions to where you want to go. Google especially gives you some great tools to see the physical environment, maybe in a place that you're not familiar with, to help you get there quicker.
Well, I would caution you to be sure your yard is all cleaned up if they keep going, doing new ones all the time, you know. Keep your house well painted and looking nice, right?
That's good advice.
But it's interesting to find out the things that people are doing to help us have a better life. And it's an exciting world out there. So you have to keep up. And keeping up with advanced is a good way to keep up. And keep in touch with us, too. We have Facebook. We have different ways to keep in touch.
That's right. Email letters@studioclassroom.com.
Okay. And so we'll chart out the next lesson when we get to it. We've just finished this one for today. But thank you for being with us as we talked about MapQuest. And thank you for coming, Ellen. Josh, come back again.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see all of you next lesson. Goodbye now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.